Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and once again, you are listening to STEM Spots. I want to talk a little bit about music today in a certain particular way. You listen to a lot of music on KSMU. A lot of that music might be classical music. And when you're talking about science and doing science, people think many times that science might be very much like classical music. In the case of classical music, you have a predetermined score written out by a composer typically, and the notes are there on a page, and then people are going to play those notes. And in the playing of those notes and the mixing of all the various instruments that are performing within this piece, you find meaning. The listener finds meaning. The performers themselves find meaning, and this meaning is conveyed to the audience. Many people think about science in the same way. They think science as a prescription, as a way of doing things that's very well laid out, and the meaning is to be determined by the general public who stand in as the listener in this particular case. In fact, if you think about, let's say, elementary school science, and you think about the way that's taught, it follows very much along these lines. Most elementary school children do a science fair at least once in their career. And if you do a science fair, you know there's a very prescribed way of doing that. You have something like framing a question and then making a hypothesis. Then you do an experiment. Then you make some conclusions based on the experiment, and you determine whether or not your hypothesis is supported or not. And then you basically repeat as needed. Many people think that's the way science is done, and they determine that that must be the way it is. A famous scientist, P.W. Bridgman, said the following: "Science is what scientists do, and there are as many scientific methods as there are individual scientists." I'd like to follow up with that and say, if we want to use music as an analogy, let's not use classical music as a stand-in for science, but instead we're going to use jazz. And if you say, but jazz, I mean, what does that mean? There's a lot of different forms of jazz, a lot of different types of jazz. Let's use jazz as an overall category where we say that a general theme is known, but within that theme, anything can be done. And so I'm thinking about jazz as it's exemplified by improvisation in certain kinds of jazz, bebop perhaps, where a composer may have set down the key, may have set down the general thematic elements, and then perhaps the sax soloist might go off who knows where, as long as they stay with inside the general framework. If that's true, then what is at the foundation of the science that we're going to do when we say there must be an overall theme? It's something that you said to yourself when you were a young child, typically, when you were looking at the natural world. It's very simple, and it's very colloquial, and it goes something like this: I wonder what will happen if. That driving question is at the basis of all science. It is essentially curiosity that drives us. The idea that we can look at the natural world and do something that we don't know how will turn out. And from it, how it turns out, we will determine what to do next. We don't know ahead of time what we're going to do next, but instead, the questions we ask and the answers we get as we infinitesimally proceed through the experiments that we do, those will determine what we do next. So let's talk a little bit about my own research. I do laboratory astrophysics. I look at hot extrasolar planetary analogs that I make in a lab. And when Mike Reed and I, an astronomer here at MSU, wrote a proposal and got funding from NASA to do this, we thought we knew what we were going to do. We thought we were going to make in the laboratory these rocks. We were going to melt these rocks and study them in a very particular way, the way we thought needed to be done on the basis of our reading and what we had already studied up until that time within this field. As we begin to build the apparatus and design the apparatus and then get everything to work out, we found, first of all, that there were many engineering challenges. And the engineering challenges presented themselves as we worked our way through the process. Each one of them sprang up from a prior experiment. And we were completely surprised, in most cases, by what we had to think about next as we did an experiment and learned something new. So now we started to actually do real experiments once we got into this a ways. And we found that the questions we thought originally that we needed to ask turned out to be substituted instead by a series of other questions, which we found only by doing our initial experiments. And so we thought a particular item of interest might be the way that we could study how filters could be used by astronomers to study the particular rocks that we might find on these planets. And so we were very interested in pursuing a particular line of research. But after doing this for a while, we found that that wasn't the most important question. In fact, a different question, which was, what new molecules can actually form in the rocks that we make as they get heated to these tremendous temperatures, began to be a more important question for us. That's one particular example, but it's just one of the many examples that one would find that scientists confront every day. As scientists go through something that might be analogous to music, but certainly not classical music, and instead something more like jazz. This is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.